Yitzchak ben Hamatzion. Just one word of the Divrei Torah regarding the Tisha B'Av. So there's a Gemara in Ta'anit. The Gemara in Ta'anit is at the end. In Daf Chavtet, Gemara says, "Taru banan, meshecharav abayit berishona, litkabesu kitot kitot shel perhei kehuna, maftechot ha'echal biyadam." So it says when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed the first time around, so it says kitot kitot shel perhei kehuna, the young Kohanim got together umaftechot ha'echal biyadan, had the keys of the hechal in their hands, va'alu legaga hechal, and they went on the roof of the hechal, va'amru lefanav ribono shel olam hoil velo zachinu liyot gizbarim ne'emanim, since we weren't loyal administrators of the Beit HaMikdash, יהיו מפתחות מסורות לך. So we're returning the keys. וזרקום כלפי מעלה. So the גזבנים, the כהנים, they felt responsible. So they took the keys to the Beit HaMקדש and they tossed them up. ויצתה כאין פיסת יד וקבלתם מהם. So it says like a palm, a hand. Came out of the Shamayim. It's clearly a miracle. And it grabbed the keys and took the keys. Vem kafsu venaflu letuch ha'ur. And then they jumped into the fire. Va'alehem konim Yishaya ha'navi. And Yishaya dedicated a whole pasuk talking about the Kohanim that they went onto the roofs. מסע גח זיון מה לך איפה כי עלית כולך לגגות. He had a vision, he saw the Kohanim going to the roofs. So the Mefarshim explained that this moment when the hand came out and took back the keys was the final blow. That was God's way of surrendering that the Beit HaMikdash finally is going to be destroyed. Till then, Borei Olam was having patience for Am Yisrael. But once the hand came out and took the keys, so it was over. So the Hachamim say remez in the tefillah that we say on the holidays. Eloheinu v'Elohei avoteinu mepnei chataeinu galinu me'arsenu. Because of our sins, we went into exile. V'nitrahaknu ma'al admatenu. And we were distanced from our land. ואנחנו יכולים לעלות ולראות ולהשתחוות לפניכם בבחירתך, and we cannot rise up to the Beit HaMikdash and bow to you in your chosen home, בבית הגדול והקדוש שנקרא שמך עליו, to your great house, והקדוש, the holy house שנקרא שמך עליו, that your name is on it. Why can't we go up to Beit HaMikdash? מפני היד שנשתלחה במקדשך. So the Mefarshim say, "Mepnei Hayad." Which Yad is this talking about over here? Nayad shenishtalecha b'mikdashach. The Yad is the Yad of Gemara Ta'anit of Chavtet. The Yad that Hashem stuck down. The Yad doesn't say it was Hashem's Yad. It says a Yad came down and took the keys. So Mepnei Hayad shenishtalecha b'mikdashach. I understood differently. In previous years, we explained this line, Mepnei Hayad, differently. Because if you look at the Gemara in Gittin, it tells the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And that story has been beaten to death. Everybody's given interpretations. Understandably, that's the, it says, Kamsa Bar Kamsa Harav Yerushalayim. They have no choice, but this is the story of the destruction. But there's one part of the story that nobody comments because it's not germane to the story. But it says, I don't have a Gemara in front of you, you can look at the Gemara, the Lashon, it says when the host finally threw Bar Kamsa out of the party, And you look at the Lashon of the Gemara there, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara's Lashon is Tafseh biyadeh. He grabbed them by his hand. Now, the Gemara doesn't have to go into all the details how he threw him out, when he took him by his neck, he put him in a chokehold, or he grabbed him by his head, or he dragged him out by his legs. But the Gemara's language clearly is Tafseh biyadeh. He grabbed him by his hand. Is that the Lashon there, Joe? Do you have the Lashon there? Huh? Ah, Nakteh. Nakteh biyadeh. Good. So Nakteh biyadeh. So as a result of that story, the Gemara says, Akamsa Barkamsa Harav Yerushalayim. So it could be that's what the means over here in the Tefillah. That we cannot go up to Yerushalayim anymore. Pnei Hayad Shenishtalecha. What was the Yad Shenishtalecha? The Yad of the Ba'al Abayit. That Nakteh biyadeh. That he grabbed him by his hand and he threw him out. But this clearly is not a small subject, because the Zohar HaKadosh in Parashat Terumah talks about this in greater detail. The Zohar HaKadosh says as follows: Halona Chada, it's Andav Kalkuf Ayin Bet. Halona Chada Ikre Halon Zahora, that there's a certain halon, a window in Shamayim. And that window is called Halon Zahora, the window of light. Uben Nafka Kochava Chada. And in that window, in that star, in that area, there's a certain star. The Ikri Lahakimeh Yad. The name of the star is called Yad. The stars have names, the North Star and so on and so forth. So the Zohar HaKadosh says there is a star in Shamayim that's in a certain location that's called, to the Chachamim who know what the stars are called, Yad. Veda iyu hatucha deka mehatech letata b'shutanuta Yehuda. And this star was given as a gift to the tribe of Yehuda, that he controls the kohot, the energies of this star. Lad di'it lecholaka beh, da'alet l'shevatim di'isud cholaka b'achsana behu, ela shiftad Yehuda shalta alhay. Velad iyu ale. The star, it seems, is a star of war, but Yaakov Avinu gave that star to Yehuda, and Yehuda can control it. So the Zohar says, where do we see that Yehuda has the star? Yadecha be'oref oyevecha. That when Yaakov blessed Yehuda, he told him, Yadecha, your hand will be be'oref oyevecha. What's the hand he was referring to? How is Yehuda's hand going to kill all the enemies? Says, no, Yadecha, which means that kochav in Shamayim, and that halon, that's called Yad, it's yours. You have the control over it, and as a result, you use that Yad, be'oref oyvecha, in order to kill all your enemies. But then the Zohar HaKadosh says, v'chad astu b'nei Yehuda orchayu, v'batar kucha b'rihu. But when b'nei Yisrael veered from the kucha b'rihu, Azlu leminda batar halonada vakuchba. They went after that star, but the star did not protect them. So the star is talui on our behavior. If Am Yisrael is osim l'sono shel makom, doing the deeds that they're supposed to, so then the star and the yad is in our domain. That's the yad of yadecha be'oref oyvecha. And if Am Yisrael, like it said in the Zohar HaKadosh, kad astu, if they sway away from the right, the straight and narrow path, so then that yad goes back to becoming a hand that goes against us. So that's what the Zohar HaKadosh says. Says Rabbeinu Ari, he says, what I'm going to tell you now is sod gadol, it's a big secret. He says, that's what it means. When you say in the Tefillah and the Hagim that we're unable to go to the Beit HaMikdash, b'pnei hayad shenishtalecha, he says the yad is referring to the yad of this star that usually is in the domain of Yehuda, used against our enemies. But once b'nei Yisrael were in default, not keeping the Torah and the Mitzvot, so therefore God sent down this yad against us. So, Mepnei Hayad is this Yad of the Zohar, and says the Benu Ari at the end, V'zeh Sod Hashem Yireav. And this is the secret of Hashem. And that's probably what the Gemara Ta'anit is referring to. When the Gemara Ta'anit says that they threw up the keys, and the Yad came out and took the keys. So we always think it's the Yad of Hashem, some sort of, but Endo Guf, Endo Demut Aguf. And it was the image of a Yad, like the Benu Ari says, this Yad that comes from this place, in order to finalize and cement the final destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And by then the fires were raging, and the Kohanim actually jumped into the fires, like the Gemara says. V'pnei Yad Shemishtadecha B'Mikdashach. On Mondays and Thursdays, tomorrow is Monday already, we say in the Tefillah, Ad Matai Ozecha B'Shevi V'Tefartecha B'Yad Sav. We say, Ad Matai Ozecha B'Shevi, until when is the Oz, the Beit HaMikdash? Until when is that Beit HaMikdash going to be into captivity? V'Tefartecha and the glory B'Yad Sav. The enemy is the Yad. B'Yad Sav. That's this Yad that the Zohar HaKadosh is talking about that turned against us. Well, we turned it against ourselves, actually. Yehuda was controlling it. But then we lost it because, like the Zohar says, Kad Astu, when they swayed. The Baal Shem Tov says in the Mizmor of Pesach, where he says, Hudu l'Adonai ki tov ki de'olam hasto, Yomru ge'ole Adonai, Asher ge'alam, Miyad Sav. So he says, when we came out of Egypt, then the stars were on our side, and the Yad was not able to bother us. Even though we didn't have too many mitzvot, we only had Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. But at the time, already HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a chesed, because we were going to accept the Torah, we were going to receive the Torah later on. So the Pasuk says, Asher Ge'alam Miyad Sav, from the enemy. Who's the enemy? The Yad, this Yad. So this is always the battle that we're talking about. So, on this, the Ben Ish Chai has a piece. So the same Gemara that Chesed and Ta'anit, the Gemara there tells a story in the terms of the first Beit HaMikdash as well, about the King Menashe. So it says, Menashe put an idol in the Beit HaMikdash. He actually put two idols in the Beit HaMikdash. It says, V'hemid selim v'hechal. So the Gemara writes, Amar Abba Trehavu. There were actually two tzelamim. V'nafal had al chavre. And one of the idols miraculously fell on the other one. V'tavre le liyadeh. And when the idol fell, it landed on the other idol's hand. And it broke his arm. And it was written, they found a note written on the Avodah Zarah, An Savit Laharuve Beta At Savit, meaning Ata Rotze, you want to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, you Avodah Zarah. Because this Avodah Zarah was a prosecutor, because the Jews were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Avodah Zarah was going to prosecute the God and say they deserve to be destroyed. So one Abu Dazara tells the other, Ansabit laharava betach, you want to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Ashlimat le, Ansabit laharava betach, you want to destroy the house of God. Yadach ashlimat le, I paid your back in your hand. Now she says, Hatzelem omer lechavero, ata ratzita laharif beto shel makom, you wanted to destroy the house of God? Shetita Yisrael acharecha, v'ani asiti b'cha nekama. So I'm going to do a revenge to you. V'shilamti lecha yadi. And therefore I hit you in, I broke your hand. The Gemara is a vague Gemara. It's hard to understand what the Gemara is talking about. The one Avodah Zarah is punishing the other Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us that he cut his hand off. So the Ben Ish Chai and Ben Yoyada, he reveals the secret of this Gemara. And he says like this. Uma shena'asita mekama besemel bekti'at yado. Why was the Why was the fracture in the Avodah Zarah's hand, velo be'ever acher, and not in another limb? He could have knocked his head off. And if Avodah Zarah tried to fight with him, he could knock any body part, but he knocked his hand off. Then Eli b'si'atad ishmaiyah, al pisod, shel tefilat musaf, שאומרים ואין אנחנו יכולים לעלות לבית בית הגדול והקדוש שנקרא שמכה עליו מפני היד שנשתלחה במקדשך וכתב בכוונות שבסידורים שצריך לכוון בתימת היד when you get to that word מוסף מפני היד שנשתלחה you have to have כוונה what's the כוונה שהוא החלון זוהרה it's that window of light that the Zohar talked about the סתרה אחרה שבו צורת יד there's the image of a hand in it ובעת החורבן שלט על בית המקדש לאחריבו. And it was that hand that came down to destroy it. ושלח בו יד. וזהו מפני היד שנשתלחה. כנזכר בזוהר הקדוש. ופי זה מובן הטעם מה שמצאו כתוב שאמר one of the עבודה זרה זה הסמל לחברו אתה רצית להחריב ביתו של מקום. You want to destroy the temple. שפעית את ישראל אחריך by causing the Jewish people to worship you, אני עשיתי בך נקמה זו. I'm taking a נקמה to you. ביד שנקטעה by cutting your hand. בן איש חי says, מפני כי אחרי זה החורבן של בית המקדש, שגרם הפסל יהיה על ידי שליטת החלון שבו צורת היד. That since the בית המקדש ultimately will be destroyed by the yad, So the Avodah Zarah was breaking the yad, hinting that the Churban is in the yad. Okay, so all this is all esoteric, doesn't mean anything. It's nice dirashot. That's why they say David HaMelech, Alav HaShom, it's Mashiach ben David. David is Gematria 14 and Yad is Gematria 14. Which means that David will return the yad. Besides the kavanah that we do have in Musaf now, which is a nice kavanah to have, that now we have a drama in our head. When you think of the yad shenishtalecha, you're thinking of the yad that came down to take the keys back. You're thinking about the yad in that window in the stars that the Arizal says is responsible for destroying the Beit HaMikdash. That's yadicha be'odor fo'ebeka. That's usually the hand that protects us. But when we sway away from the Torah, Yehuda loses that hand. And therefore it goes into the hands of the Goyim. And that's why the Avodah Zarah broke the hand of the... All that's nice in the Rashot. But Rabbi Friedman, in his Dirash, learns a practical application to this, that we can put it into Halakha L'Ma'aseh, besides the Kavanah. When the Jewish people came out of Egypt, It says, Yiminecha Adonai ne'edari b'kawach, Yiminecha Adonai t'ra'as oyev. So again, Rashi asks on the spot, Yiminecha, Yiminecha. God has two right hands. Why does it say Yiminecha, Yiminecha? So Rashi answers that at the time of mercy, like when we came out of Egypt, that even the left hand of God, which is usually Midat Hadin, turned into a right hand. So God had two right hands. Yiminecha Hashem, Yiminecha Hashem. That the Rahmanut at the time of the Exodus was so strong, was so powerful, that the Yad Semol did not exist. The Midat Rahamim was able to not only make the right a right, which is automatic, but even the left turned into right. And if a God was dealing with two right hands. So he says... That's true at the time of the Churban, where the Midat Hadin was very strong. We understand now a pasuk that says in the pasuk in Echa. The pasuk writes that Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It says Heshiv Yemino. He returned. He retrieved his right hand. So the Zohar Kadosh and Parashat Beshalach says, what do you mean, Yeshiv Yemino? The explanation is that normally, when the hands are in front of a person, so there's a right and a left, so there's Chesed and Din. So at least you have it 50-50, but we have both. But at the time of the Churban, it says, Heshiv yimino achor. Kibyachor. He put his right hand behind, and now all you had was Yad Semol. All you had was Midat Adin. And that's why the havoc took place at the time of the Churban. So, the rabbi asks, what could we do in practicality in order to subjugate this yad that's been over us for 1947 years? God has reversed it. Yeshiv yimino achor. That hand has been in the back for 1947 years. Hence galut. Long galut. So there's different ways of returning this. We got to return the yad, and we have to subjugate this yad that's out to get us. So he has a theory like this. You can ask yourself a question. The Zohar HaKadosh writes on the pasuk, "Va'asu li mikdash v'shachati betocham," in Parashat Terumah. The Zohar says, this is referring to the mitzvah of tefillin. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, this is referring to the mitzvah of tefillin. They don't understand what he's talking about. How in the world is Va'asu li mikdash v'shachati betocham, which is talking about the temple? What does that have to do with tefillin? So I once saw the Rasha that they say, because if you look at the tefillin has the name of God. Rambam brings this down. 21 times Hashem's name is written in tefillin shel yad, and 21 times is written in tefillin shel rosh. Ehyeh asher ehyeh. That means altogether there's 42 times the name of Hashem in the tefillin. You cannot imagine the kedusha when a person puts on tefillin. You know, a person carries in his pocket, you know, a small amulet. Maybe it has Hashem's name written once, maybe. And it's supposed to bring him all sorts of good luck and stuff. And here a person puts on tefillin, and on his body, he has the name of God 42 times, Yudke Bavke. We cannot imagine the level, the kiddusha, the energy that comes into a person when he's wearing the tefillin. So the Bishlam B'Yohai could mean that when a person is wearing tefillin, it's able to bring the Shekhinah into the person. Because if you take the word betocham, ba'asuli mikdash, that's referring to the tefillin according to the Zohar, v'shachanti betocham, the first letter of betocham is a bet, and the last letter of betocham is a mem. That's already mem bet, that's 42. And the middle of betocham is toch. So betocham is the letters toch mem bet. So the Bishamon Ben Yochai, when he saw the word betocham, he didn't only see the bet mikdash, he saw toch mem bet, that there's a certain mitzvah that has 42 names of God. That's the mitzvah of tefillin. Oh, the asuli mikdash, the shechatib betocham. You can do the mitzvah of wearing the 42 names of Hashem every single day. That's tantamount to bringing the Shekhinah back down to earth. That's the beginning of the process. The Shlach Kadosh has a different way of understanding it. Shlach Kadosh says it's really referring to tefillin shel rosh. He's because the tefillin shel rosh has two sheens. One sheen has three legs, and the other sheen has four legs. So he says the sheen with the three legs represents Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And the sheen with the four legs represents the four angels that carry the chariot of God, the Maaseh Merkabah. So he says the Beit HaMikdash was built in the Zechut of Avot, Zechatit, B'iti Yaakov, B'iti Yitzhak, B'iti Yitzhak, B'iti Abraham Yitzchak, the three covenants of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, that's the three sheens. And in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kiseh HaKavod was there, Kiyad Al-Kesiyah, the chair of God was complete, and the four angels were carrying it. So the Bishlam B'Yai saw in the Tefillin Shel Rosh a remez to the Beit HaMikdash, with the three and the four and the Shinim. However, he doesn't explain what the Tefillin Shel Yad is. But based on what we're saying today, Rabbi Friedman explains it like this. He says, isn't it strange, all the mitzvot we do with our right hand. When it comes to tefillin, the mitzvah is on the left, although we're doing it with the right. I understand, we're doing it with the right. So it's consistent in that sense. the mitzvah is done with your right hand. You're putting it on with your right, so therefore it follows the rules. But the mitzvah itself is resting on the left, which is the weaker hand. Yadecha, yadkeha. It needs understanding. And the whole concept of tefillin, where we're binding it, we're putting straps. So he said that the yad keha, the left hand, represents this left hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's been outstretched against us for 1900 years over. This is referring to Heshiv Yemino Achor. And all we have left is this left hand that's coming from that star, that bad star that's against us. That Yad Simod that came down and grabbed the keys to the Beit HaMikdash. That Yad that came out to destroy, that's Yad Simon. There's no right in the times of the destruction. So when we put on the tefillin in the morning, he says there's a kavanah. You know what the kavanah is? To tie down the left hand. We want the left hand to be subjugated. It's like you have a wild animal. So you need to lasso him in. You need to tie him down in order to subjugate him. So when you're putting the tefillin shaviyah in the morning, you're subjugating that yad shenishtalecha b'mikdashach by tying it, binding it, and putting. Once already you bind the yad, now you can put on the tefillin shel rosh. Now you can build the Beit HaMikdash. Now you have zchut avot and the four malachim that are carrying the merkava. And that's what it means v'asudi mikdash. The way we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, lema'aseh. You put on tefillin. Putting on tefillin activates in Shamayim a subjugation of that yad. A yad shenishtalecha. Every time you put on tefillin in the morning, you're binding yourself. You're tying it. You're being machniya. You're subjugating the left hand. And that's what's after the left hand. So that's something we could take out practically from Tisha B'Av. The practicality of putting on the mitzvah tefillin. You know, not everybody's going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and make tikkun chatzot. And not everybody's going to do all these other fastings and different things. But tefillin is something that is in our ability to do. The first thing we have to do is, we have to check our tefillin to make sure they're kasher. Today it's very prevalent that the tefillin are not kasher. Because like everything else, it became a business. So once it becomes a business, so there's mass marketing, there's mass production. And therefore it's very possible that a person could be wearing tefillin for many years, and Chas v'Shalom, they're inactive, they're not serving its purpose. Because they're pasul. And especially today that there's abuse by putting on wet hair and leaving them in the car and in the heat, so they become warped, and the letters sometimes start to crack. So first we have to establish, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that our tefillin are indeed kasher. But today, unfortunately, for every 3 people that you see in the synagogue putting on tefillin, there's 30 young men in the community that are not putting on tefillin. This is something that changed, because when I was young, listen, with all my friends and everybody, we had people that were very religious, were middle religious, were so-so. But even the worst guy on the totem pole put on tefillin. He might have put on tefillin for 5.5 minutes, maybe, if he did that. But he knew he has to put on his tefillin. That was something that was taboo. You knew you cannot go a day. I'm sure that guy didn't pray mincha. And I know he didn't pray arbi. But tefillin he put on, because you know you have to put on tefillin. They were scared to miss a day. That's when we're young. You miss a day. You can't miss a day. Today that fear of missing a day doesn't apply anymore. I once asked Hachem Baruch Alav Shalom about our custom, which is really, it's mostly our custom, to put on tefillin Erev Kippur in Mincha. It's not a fast day. Erev Kippur is not a fast day. It's a ki'ilu mitaneh, but it's not a fast day. So why would you put on tefillin in Mincha on Erev Kippur? But we all do it. So he said he heard from his father, Hachem Yaakov Katzin, because Hakam Yaakov was worried that there might be members in the community that are not putting on tefillin, and how could they go on to Kippur that they didn't put on tefillin the whole year, And Achem Yaakov says, who doesn't come to Mincha Erev Kippur? Which guy, even the biggest deadbeat, shows up Erev Kippur in Mincha? So he said, let's put out tefillin just to save that guy that didn't put out tefillin because he cannot go into Kippur without tefillin. I show you how how crucial this mitzvah is. I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something else. When we were young, we used to have Sunday school. Jody's here, you remember the Sunday school. It wasn't the best day in the yeshiva. We didn't learn the most the Torah that day. Most of the time the heat was broken because once they shut it on Friday, they couldn't get it started until Tuesday. It's the old Magen David on 50 Avenue P. Zecher LeChorban. And we had school, and interestingly enough, Chaim Baruch would teach us on Sundays. Even though I'm sure he was very busy. As a rabbi, Sunday is a busy day. He would be in the yeshiva every Sunday teaching us kids. We were kids, we were 8th graders. And they were very strict on the Sunday school. Rabbi Greenis, Alav HaShalom, would get on the microphone on Fridays. And we heard this in our ears for 10 years when we were in the yeshiva. And the loudspeaker would say, whoever doesn't come to school on Sunday, don't come to school on Monday. Between Sunday school and Magen David was even more precious than Monday school. If you didn't come on Monday, you can come on Tuesday. But if you didn't come on Sunday, you can't come on Monday. That means they brainwashed us that Sunday school is, all the other days are Kodesh. Sunday is Kodesh Kodeshim. That's the way they gave us the impression. All week long they took attendance half-heartedly. On Sunday they took attendance with truancy officers. They wanted to see who's there, who's not there, who didn't show up, what time they got. There's so much greed. And I once asked the rabbi, why they're so strict on Sunday school? After I graduated, of course, I told them, the learning is not so strong anyway. By the time we get settled down, ready, we go. So he said something very, very, very wise. Did you know the main reason why we have the Sunday school? Is because if we don't have Sunday school, the boys are not going to put on tefillin. Because what's going to happen? The kids are going to leave the yeshiva on Friday. But every kid's going to take his kodacha with him. We leave the kodacha in the yeshiva. And then what's going to happen Sunday? There's no school. Where are they going to get tefillin from? Well, everybody's going to put on their father's tefillin. Everybody has two tefillin. We're kids. Who has two pairs of tefillin? And they said the primary reason we have the yeshiva open is so the boys will have to come to the Bet Midrash and take their tefillin and put them on so they don't miss a day. I wonder today in the modern generation that people wiser than Achim Baruch come along and they do away with Sunday school. They have broader shoulders than our rabbi and they have more confidence that the problems that he thought were problems 10, 15, 20 years ago, today the generation must have gotten much better than it was 20 years ago. And therefore, we have Aliyat HaDorot, and therefore we don't have to worry about these concerns. So, they're able to take it on their shoulders to shut down the yeshiva on Sunday. And then I'd like to have statistics now. Those kids that are not going to the yeshiva on Sunday, not their fault, they were given a get out of jail free card, they were given a Heter, who's wearing tefillin. How many people are wearing tefillin today? And once you get in the habit not to put on tefillin on a Sunday, Avera goyinat Avera. When you get older, Sunday becomes a day of no tefillin, and then Monday, and then Tuesday, and then you can have whole swaths in the community, lo alinu v'lo alechem, that are neglecting this very, very important mitzvah. It should be very, very concerning to us. But again, for every three people that are in shul putting on tefillin, there's 30 people outside that are not putting on tefillin, that are graduating the community yeshivas. I'm not talking about kids that are going to public school, kids that are going to yeshivas. But for some reason there's a disconnect today that the tefillin is not as fearful, doesn't bring fear into the people like it did when we were young. And the mitzvah of the tefillin is the yad. That's the item that's able to be machniya, the yad simon. Could be that's why the satan's fighting against the tefillin so much. Because he doesn't want the yad yamin to come and save us. He wants the yad simon to be unleashed He doesn't want the Yetzibot to have any shackles on it or any straps that are holding it down. And therefore the Satan is fighting against the mitzvah of tefillin tooth and nail. But nonetheless, that's something that's practical that we could all do. It's nothing that takes so much effort. So every father has to make sure that his children are putting on the tefillin. Every grandfather, it's not enough that his grandfather buys him a pair of tefillin. They have to check on their children to make sure that they're wearing tefillin. It has to be checks and balances in the families. And of course, if a father's not going to wear tefillin, then the child's not going to wear tefillin. And then, Chag V'Shalom, I don't want to go into what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. That a person that doesn't wear tefillin is called Poshei Yisrael Begufan. Poshei Yisrael Begufan is a different level, which means Geinam normally lasts for 12 months. But then there's those that have extended play. Because of certain Averot, they get bonus. Where Geinam usually ends at 12 months for most criminals, but for Poshei Yisrael Begufan, there's extended play. So now it's convenience. Yeah, I don't put on tefillin, it's convenience. But Chas V'Shalom, in the future, there's a long, long debt that has to be paid, a big debt, for this Avon. Not only that, what the Zohar HaKadosh talks about, even the Rishimu, the trace. After you put on your tefillin, you have the marks. Those marks bring holiness into the person. Because even after you took off the tefillin, but the tefillin brands the Jew. Those straps create a kiddushah. So when a person lifts up his sleeve and you see the marks, that's a sign of holiness that's being absorbed through the person. So everything about it is great. For those that are wearing the tefillin already, like I said, to check the tefillin, to make sure they're kasher, to make sure they're in the right place. Kabbalah would always tell us that people are always checking if their tie is straight. But the tefillin are backwards. The tefillin are on the... But the guy's looking in the mirror to check his tie. Either the tie doesn't mean anything. The tefillin have to be in the right place. He would compare it to the old transistor radios. The old transistor radios had a dial. So when you wanted to get to the radio station, you had to turn the dial and get it exactly to the right spot. And if you were a little to the right or to the left, you got static. So we say the tefillin is like a transistor. You're turning it this way. You have to get it exactly on the right spot to get reception. But if it's a little to the right, it becomes staticky. It becomes a little foggy. It becomes a little cloudy. You don't get a proper reception. So this is all the mitzvah of the tefillin. That's Yad Keha. I'm not talking about the other decisions that people made when they closed the yeshiva on Sunday. I always talk about this as a pet peeve of mine. Not because I have to suffer through Sunday school now, I'm sour grapes that they don't have Sunday school. That's not the reason. I analyze myself a lot. That's not the reason. I'm not sour grapes on this. It's because the Gemara says in Shabbat on Kuf Yutet, Lo harba Yerushalayim, the Jerusalem wasn't destroyed. Because they stopped the children from learning Torah. I mean, it could be 2,000 years ago, there was also a group of people that said, oh, the kids, too much for them. And therefore they gave them off of school. Once already there was a bitul Torah, not of the adults, of tinokot shel bet rabban, of those pure children that they have no sin. So already that led to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Haval pihem shel tinokot shel bet rabban. Who's able to take it upon their shoulders to send 1,000 kids home and say, you don't have to learn Torah today, I'll take responsibility. The Gemara says the destruction of the temple was because of Tirokot Shel Beit Rabban. On the contrary, we have to be fighting that the children should learn 12 months a year. That the Tirokot Shel Beit Rabban, I always wondered, why did my rabbi teach 8th graders and 7th graders? We were Tirokot Shel Beit Rabban, we were kids. Because they understood that that's the highest level. The Benu Ari says that the teaching of Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban is such a high level of Torah that even the Kedipot cannot touch the Torah. It's on a different level. The learning of everybody else, there's Achizah. The Kedipot are able to grab onto it. But the Benishmai says, Ben Yoyada, Shabbat Kuf Yotet, But on the Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban, the level of the learning is so high, there's no achiza of the Chitzonim on it. It's the purest learning. Who could come today in our generation and say, yeah, I'll take responsibility over a coffee and vote, yeah, give them off Sunday, give them off this day, give them that. You need Sanhedrin of 71 in order to make a judgment if you're going to stop the kids from studying Torah. And the Gemara says, because of that, Harba Beit HaMikdash. And that's what the Pasuk gives a remez to this. The Pasuk says, Lashon Raka Teshaber Garim, or Tishbor Garim. Lashon Raka, which literally means a soft tongue, Tishbor Garim, can break even the toughest bone. A person comes in contact with a garim, a tough guy, like a stiff bone. Lashon Raka Teshbor Garim. You talk to him softly, you can break him. But the Achamim say Rem is over here. Who's Lashon Raka? The Lashon Raka of the Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban, of these kids, of these youngsters that are studying Torah, that's Lashon Raka. Tishbor is Rashi Tevot. Tishbor Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban. Lashon Raka Tishbor. The Lashon Raka of Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban. Tishbor Garem. Garem Rashi Tevot. Gezerot Ra'ot Mevatlin. That they're able to nullify Gezerot Ra'ot Garem. Gezerot Ra'ot Mevatlin. Are we so safe? Are we so protected that we don't need the extra Shemirah, Shemirah Yetera? Today everything is protection and security and all that. So what do you think? We have a better protection with some golem standing outside with like a pesel going to protect us? Who's going to protect us? A security guard that makes a kafot every couple of minutes around the neighborhood. And he's never around when you need him. He always misses the action. Where's the Shemirah? If Hashem lo yishmor ir, shav shakat shomer. If Hashem doesn't protect the city, shav shakat shomer, you're wasting all your money in the security. So what do we first do? We hire the golem, and we hire the guy to make that kafot, and we close the yeshiva. And meanwhile, that's where the protection is coming from. The protection comes from the Tirukot Shel Bet Rabban Shelohatu. In my Shalichot, in the book, it says, Aseh lema'an Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Say, Amen. Aseh lema'an Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo. I say, Amen. These are all the greats. Aseh lema'an kol ha-tzadikim v'kol ha-chassidim. Aseh lema'an, Aseh lema'an. And finally we say, you know what? If all what we just said doesn't work, Aseh lema'an Tirukot Shel Bet Rabban Shelohatu. That's it. That's the ace. That's the wild card. If none of these work, because maybe the zechut of the avot is terminated. That's an automatic, that's a guarantee. And in our generation, we're looking for more days that the kids should have off a yeshiva. Meanwhile, that's our security. Forget about the tefillin. And we're searching for solutions, and the solutions are right in front of us. More tefillin for the community. And more learning of the Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban, more yeshivas for the kids. There was a great rabbi called Pri Megadim. Pri Megadim, Rabbi Yosef Te'umim, he wrote a perush on Shulchan Aruch. You cannot move without that perush. He also was a school teacher in the city of Levuv. When he used to sign his name, Yosef Te'umim, מלמד דרדקה ועבד לתלמיד הזמן, לתלמידי הזמן. He would sign his name, Yosef Te'umim, the school teacher in the city of Levuv, servant to the students of his time. And he would say that that's a much bigger compliment than the Pri Megadim that he wrote. To write books, anybody can write books. But to be מלמד תינוקות, so this is the highest. You're teaching a Torah that's pure, perfect, has no dregs, has no sigim, has no impurities. This is the things we have to think about at Tisha B'Av. So we fast in a couple of hours, we'll break our fast, and it'll be over again. Borei Olam says, like we say in Kippur, Borei Olam wants us to fast. Like one rabbi said to one of his students that was fasting, he says, what are you doing? He says, I made Amirot, so I'm fasting. He says, you sin with your eyes, so why are you punishing your stomach? You sin with your hands, why are you punishing your stomach? You sin with your legs, you're running to make avirot, why are you punishing your stomach? Your stomach is the only part of the body that doesn't make any avirot. He's the one Tuvia Hatav is a good min God. What are you punishing the innocent one for? Of course you have to follow the halakha. With all the stories, we still have to fast. But you have to be practical and say to yourself, what did my stomach do? The purpose of the fast is to start to analyze where the roots are. And the roots are, and the tefillah doesn't lie, the siddur is a very honest judge. Mipnei ayad. It's the yad, it's the tefillin shel yad. Mipnei ayad shenishtalecha. Unfortunately, once the tefillin shel yad was sent out, and the people are not interested in wearing the tefillin as well, that's why we have a custom in our community. The first time the child puts on the tefillin, his grandfather puts on a strap, and his uncle puts on a strap, everybody, the whole family comes on a strap, even though you can argue, hey, hefsek, and all these type of things. But that's our tradition. And anyway, most of the times when he's putting it on, he's not bar mitzvah yet, he's before the bar mitzvah. But there's a message that we're trying to send the child, that this is a tradition. What you're doing now with your tefillin is something your grandfather did, that all your uncles do, that everybody wants to have a chelek in that mitzvah. And therefore I say to Botai, unfortunately today it has turned to what the Torah says, Vayadayim yedei Esav. That instead of the yadayim of Am Yisrael being kadosh, the hands are being used for stupidity, for texting and for playing games and for, you know, shooting down things on the computer and for playing all sorts of juvenile things and all this stuff that they do. Yadayim yadayim esav. The hands that were supposed to be used for kiddusha, mepnei ayad shenishtalecha. The hand of Am Yisrael, the yad kadosh, yad gematria David, the yad was sent to galut. And therefore, we have to accept upon ourselves. Of course, we're talking to the people that come to the Dirash. You wear tefillin, but everybody can enhance the mitzvah of tefillin. Kavanot. What's the four kavanot of the tefillin? I don't know. Shulchan Aruch brings four kavanot. Ask a regular guy, what's the four kavanot? I don't know this kavanot. I'm not a mekubal. I'm not a mekubal. I didn't say mekubal. Shulchan Aruch is not written for the Mekubalim. It's written in Shulchan Aruch. The four kavanot that a person has to have when he puts on his tefillin. Ayin Sham. So after the Tisha B'Av, you have to enhance the Yad. And then Be'ezat Hashem will be the Shel Rosh, which is the three Avot and the four Malachim that are carrying the Merkava, and will be fulfilled on us. Like the Rabbi said, that the Shekhinah is called Yudheh. Shekhinah's Yudheh. But for the Shekhinah to come back down, we need to make the tikkun in the Yad. And this is what the Torah hints to us. Ki Yad al kes ya. If we're interested in bringing back the Ya, hold the Ya first. Start on the Yad. Start on the Yud Galid. And that's why the first 14 days of the month of Av, Arizal says, the first half of the month is the sad half. The second half is the happy half. How many days are in the first half? 14. That's Yad. And then, when does the second half start? On Yudke. And therefore, by fulfilling the Yad and making the Tikkun on the first 14 days, which is the Yad Shilishtalecha, then already Yad Al Kesya, then already on Yudke you say Yishem, then already you don't have to worry. But everybody has to do their job. And then Bezat Hashem will be fulfilled on us, like the Pasuk says, Lema'an tiye Torat Adonai Beficha, ki bechozika dotzianu Adonai Mimetzrayim, and just like God took us out of Egypt, it says, that kimeset echa me'eres Mitzrayim, al'enu nifla'ot, amen ve'amen.